Welcome back. It's Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and it is time for sports with Bill Littlefield, host of NPR's Only a Game. Hello, Bill.
Hello, Meghna.
I know this isn't our usual Wednesday date, but yes, Thursdays are good, too.
Gave me an extra day to study so I'd have especially cogent answers.
Well, I mean, how about it gave us another day to think about basketball,
yes,
right?
Yes, indeed.
It's the Sweet 16 tonight. Mm-hmm. So let's start with the women. Who are the teams to watch? And you're not allowed to name UConn.
Well, I'm not going to because there are two stories that are that are magnificent. I mean, one is Baylor. They slipped by Texas Southern 119-30.
What? Sorry. I must have missed that one.
It was the largest gap between winner and loser ever in the history of the women's tournament. So it looks as if Baylor is trying to make their case by running up the score. I'm not sure you can really blame Baylor coach Kim Mulkey because she did play all her players. She went 12 deep on the bench, and they still won 119-30.
And this was against Texas Southern, you
Texas
said?
Southern. Yeah,
Baylor
scored the first
22
points.
I feel for Texas
points.
Southern.
I do, too. And their coach, what else could she say? She said it's a learning experience. It's a growth experience. To me, it's the sort of experience that one leaves the courts scratching one's head and saying, perhaps field hockey, I think, field hockey.
It makes me wonder if they're going to institute a mercy rule in the NCAA.
It makes you feel as if there should be. The other thing we should mention is Kelsey Plum, of course, who plays for Washington, a team nicknamed the Huskies, same as the one in Connecticut. But anyway, she established herself as the highest scorer in the history, single season record. That she set highest scorer in a single season in the women's division. So, you know, hats off to her and to her team as well, because you can't score all those points unless somebody passes the ball to you a lot.
I mean, look, we're a long ways away from the final, but I would love to see a West Coast Huskies versus East Coast Huskies.
I would just like to see a close game. That's all.
So UConn can't be in it.
No, I'd love, you know, Gino Auriemma has even said, coach of the Huskies has said, you know, I don't know what would happen if we were really pressed. And there are some people who say, well, you know, this is a young team. There are some players on this team that have never really faced the kind of pressure that a final would put on them if the opponent was close with, say, 4 minutes left. And so, you know, you can. That's what I hope for. I hope for a close game.
It would be magnificent.
Great fun.
All right. So let's talk about the men now. It's been a budget bracket-busting tournament so far. Some of the
budget-busting as well, as the NCAA is likely to show us when the final numbers are in.
Yeah, so it might have not been entirely a terrible Freudian slip there. But some of your favorite upsets here so far.
Well, it's hard to know where to start. I think there's one number one team still left in contention, so it's a little hard to know where to start. There have been some great games. There certainly have been some, you know, some surprises. And Villanova is one of the teams that was surprised, and lots of people thought that they would. Duke is another team that's been surprised, and the former president of the United States thought they would be in the final, and it turns out he was wrong.
The first time he's been wrong about
that I'm aware of,
of a competition here. So let's move on to the NFL, because I mean, there's a lot we can talk about with basketball, but I do want to get your view on something that's going on in the NFL, Bill, and that is that quarterback Colin Kaepernick. He's been in the news a lot, right? Because of course he refused to stand for the national anthem.
Yeah, he was the
first
one who initially sat on the bench during the national anthem and then decided to take a knee during the national anthem, and then there were several other players who followed his lead.
Exactly, and he was formerly of the 49ers. He's a free agent now, right?
Correct.
And NFL teams are refusing to sign him, and some folks are suggesting that it's Kaepernick's political views that are the reason for that. We have some tape here from President Donald Trump, because even he has weighed in on this.
There was an article today, it was reported, that NFL owners don't want to pick him up because they don't want to get a nasty tweet from Donald Trump. Do you believe that?
If that wasn't a rhetorical question, my answer is nope, I don't. In fact, as is his custom, the president was twisting something that he had read or that somebody had read to him or that he'd heard about in the news. There was one unidentified source who said some general managers might be reluctant to pick up Colin Kaepernick for a number of reasons, one of which was that he He expressed his political stance by kneeling during the national anthem. Another is that he hasn't had quite as good a season recently as
right.
he used to have. Another is that he's getting a little older. One mention was, maybe they don't want to upset the president. There was, somebody said 10%. Maybe that he didn't want to upset
the
president.
What do you think, Bill? Do you think his the fact that Kaepernick has been willing to be politically vocal in the actions that he's taken that's causing NFL teams to not want to pick him up?
I think it's very likely. Given the NFL, the owners of the NFL are generally an extremely conservative bunch. They probably don't like what he did. They don't like the idea of having him on their team, and they probably don't like the potential for publicity that has nothing to do with whether they're winning or losing football games accruing to their team because they hire the guy.
Yeah.
But
what kind of message does that send to other players?
Well, it doesn't send a message. It reinforces the
right.
message.
Yeah.
And the message in the NFL for a long, long time has been shut up and play football. It extends even to fining guys if their socks aren't according to code and if they celebrate effusively in the end zone after they score a touchdown. The NFL wants the focus on football, and they want the focus on the coaches and the strategy and the genius and the brilliance, and they don't want the focus on concussions, and they don't want the focus on ALS, and they don't want the focus on people that perhaps don't salute the flag as they think they should.
Or exercising their First Amendment rights. Well, let's stick with football, but talk about some lighter fare with the NFL if we could, because we should remind ourselves that the FBI did track down two of Tom Brady's Super Bowl jerseys, which went missing
and
after
a bunch
the big
of
game.
Other stuff, too.
Yeah. They tracked it down to Mexico.
Yes, indeed.
They've got a possible suspect.
Yes, indeed.
Mexican journalist Mauricio Ortega.
Yes. And at least as far as I've heard, Donald Trump has not claimed credit for recovering Tom Brady's jersey, although it may have happened. There's been a lot of news this week, so I may have missed that.
Bill, you're never going to miss an opportunity here. So security footage may have helped identify Ortega. What else do we know about this? I think he was an accredited journalist at the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah, and that definitely makes him a highly suspect person because, I've been... I've held a press credential at a number of events, and anybody who's ever been there as a working journalist to the World Series or the World Cup or anything, and they see these free riders on credentials who brag about the fact that they don't have to write anything and they don't really even have to watch the game because they're just there because somebody gave them a credential. I hate those people because I'm working. So I'm not going to stand up for this guy. Besides, he's a thief. He had a basement full of other football memorabilia, which apparently he brought some of it to the Super Bowl with the hope of selling some of it back to the guy who originally owned it, another quarterback named Kurt Warner. So the whole thing is preposterous. And boy, I'm glad the FBI was on the job.
Although okay,
there may be a few other things the FBI should be looking at, but okay.
So we are going over time, but I don't care because of what you said. I mean, this is what really got me on earlier this week. As FBI Director James Comey went out of his way multiple times before the House Intelligence Committee hearing, supposedly talking, they were there to talk about Russian interference in the presidential election, but we had a repeated analogy come up about the Patriots. And here's Representative Rick Crawford of Arkansas, who once again brought up the Pats during Comey's testimony.
Despite your expressed disdain for the New England Patriots, I think that Tom Brady would probably like to express his gratitude for the FBI's assistance in recovering his stolen Super Bowl jersey, so I'll do that on his behalf now.
Thank you. By the way, if I'm honest with myself, the reason I don't like the Patriots is they represent sustained excellence. And as a Giants fan, that drives me crazy.
Ha ha.
There's always room for humor in the Washington, D.C. Area.
I kept tweeting enough with the Pats references.
Well, and very funny stuff going on in Washington.
Well, at least we know that Comey is a Giants fan now.
Yeah.
Put that mystery to rest.
Yeah, I'm happy to hear that. And you know, I wish his Giants well. What the heck?
Well, and the rest of America. Bill Littlefield, host of NPR's Only a Game. You can hear him on Saturdays on WBUR at 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. Bill, thanks as always.
Thank you.